a reading of God's word now, so please do open your Bibles to John chapter 6. Thanks, Joss, Lynn, for reading to us. Sorry, it's not on the screen, it's 1070 in Church Bibles, page 1070 and 622. Sorry, Joss, you 35. Take your time. Yeah, they're still looking.
Right. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, but not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father had placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave the bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe."
Thank you very much, Jocelyn. And please have your Bibles open at that John 6 passage. Please follow along and look around as we look at this passage together. We're in the first half of John's Gospel. Still, it's nicknamed the Book of Signs because there are seven signs or seven miracles. And there are seven I am statements as well. From chapter 13 onwards in John, it's again called by another name, the Book of Suffering. And so John is kind of a two-parter, if you like. And what a first part this is. What signs we've seen already that point to Jesus, all he is and has come to do. So the feeding of the 5,000 was recently. With Jesus, there's always an abundance. He is more than enough. We thought about things in our lives. We think, you know, this can't be fixed, that can't be solved. Jesus shows he can meet all our needs. He really can take care of us. How is that true? Well, last week we were reminded of our all-powerful Saviour. So look at verse 16 of chapter 6. Here's a text we need to look at often, because no matter how high the waves get in our life, how deep the waters we find ourselves in, Jesus is a match. Far more, isn't he? He's beyond. He is the one who walks on the sea. He rides the storm. He has all power over all chaos, all destruction, all devastation, all the evil in your life, from inside and outside, and in mine. He is over it all. He walks over our mess to get to us, over the things that overwhelm us. There is nothing beyond Jesus. There is nothing out of his control. So can he handle your little life and mine? Yes, he can. The unmasked glory of Jesus is more powerful and it's more terrifying than the storm to the disciples, and yet it's also more comforting because Jesus says, "It is I. Do not be afraid. It's okay. I'm with you." Well, we're picking up at verse 22 in this long bread address, if you like. So today, Jesus, the bread of life, we end at 35. Next week, we're carrying on from verse 36 and the kind of coming to Jesus. And then from verse 51, Andrew Crane in a few weeks will be leading that bit. Can you see from verse 51, feeding on Jesus? And then Nat Brett gets from verse 60. Where else can we go, Lord? Where else can we go? So it just gets better and better. You just want to bring your friends, family members, as we hear and as we look upon Christ in the Gospels. Well, on the subject of hearing, let me pray briefly before we start. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As we've just sung, it speaks, it is food to us, it never spoils, it leads to eternal life. So as we come before your word, we pray we'd be serious about it. We'd be awake and alert. We'd want to hear what you say. And we want to put it into practice. For your glory, we pray. Amen. Well, let's start with the chase. It's been quite 24 hours for Jesus, feeding 5,000, walking on the sea. So verse 22, the next day, the bread crowd are out looking for Jesus, aren't they? And we can read, which you heard read to us, they've done a bit of boat watching, they've done a bit of working out, so they pile themselves into boats because they realise Jesus must have crossed the sea, and they follow. They're on the hunt for Jesus, aren't they? Like the paparazzi, they're just watching, waiting, zooming about, following. Think Beatlemania, if that's your era, or maybe Take That, or One Direction, whatever your era might be. They're chasing him down. They're hunting for him. And verse 25, they find him and they ask, "When did you get here?" And notice, and it's not the only time, Jesus doesn't have a problem coming across as a bit rude. Verse 26, like he could have just said, "Well, I got here, you know." But he says, "Very truly, I tell you," and he basically says, "why you're looking for me." He puts them straight. "It's not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill." And Jesus is direct, isn't he? He's just straight to the issue. He says, "I know you. And I know what you're after. You've just had your fish finger baps. And you want more. You want something else that's going to touch your senses or help you in the moment." Jesus is blunt. But of course, he's right, isn't he? They saw the sign, but the point is they didn't see it. They don't understand the message of the feeding of the 5,000. Instead, they went away having had a free dinner. And actually, they want more. So they're not connecting the dots, are they? They want lots, but they don't want Jesus himself. They want what he has, but they don't want him. They want the power, but they don't want the person. They understand, do they? And Jesus is trying here to get them off, and he's always doing this, isn't he? To try to get them off the food of the world, the natural food, the food they love, and to get them onto wanting spiritual foods. And isn't this something we need to hear as well? How often do we get chasing kind of short-term satisfiers? We can treat God like this, can't we? Kind of give me God, give me stuff, meet my needs. So Jesus is straight with them. And he's blunt because he knows what they're really seeking, what they're really working for. And it's actually that they're wasting their lives. They're wasting their time. So verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." You're going all out after temporary stuff rather than the eternal stuff you really need. And Jesus knows them, and Jesus knows us, doesn't he? He knows you He knows what you're really working for. He knows this in every part about me as well. He knows why we get up in the morning. He knows what we're chasing after. He knows our inner desires and longings. He knows what we give our time to. And some of us, lots of us, work very hard at our jobs, or we work hard at our music or our sport. We're serious perhaps about exercise or other things. We have dreams. We've got ladders to climb, promotions we're aiming for. Some of us work hard at video games or at our social lives on social media. We chase what's going on. You know, who liked what? But working hard is good, mostly. But the question being asked is, what are we working hard for? What is taking your energy, your time, your money? Before the Lord, in your own heart, mine too, what is it? There's no doubt about the inner longings we have. We have inner cravings for things, don't we? There's a hunger in each human. But the what question is the key question. Is our quest for food which spoils? Are we chasing the stuff of the world? On which first impressions, it seems great. But as Jesus reminds us, it doesn't last, so it cannot ultimately satisfy. Let's think fairy stories for a moment. They're pretty scary at times, really unpleasant other times, aren't they? Fairy stories. But they have a particular way of teaching children real life things through kind of strange settings, don't they? The fairy stories teach us to trust, to be brave, to be focused, and to not always trust, to be careful, to beware being enticed and tricked and so on. So the big message of many of them is, don't get lost in the woods, isn't it? Don't be fooled by outward appearances. Don't take the apple. Don't trust the lovely house that's covered in sweets. Don't believe everything and anyone, especially if they look like they have a costume on or a wart, maybe. And the villains of the stories, of course, who everyone knows aren't real, like dragons, witches, wolves, of course, they represent things that are real in our lives, which can bewitch us and can harm us and befuddle us. They remind us this world can, and if often is a sinister place, dark and confusing. So you read about the young lady going into the wood alone where there's a strange looking granny, sorry grannies, and you're screaming out, don't go there and don't believe her. Don't take the bait. And Jesus is asking this question of us. Do we believe the world? Do we join the hunt and the big chase for the things that spoil or not? And of course his warning is, beware. Beware being enticed by the food of the world, because it spoils. And the devil whispers, doesn't he, that what most people are chasing after in this world, what the message really that comes through our screens and so on, is something we should join, something which should be big in our lives as well. But Jesus says to the crowd that you're not thinking this through. You work so hard, put so much into your jobs. Exercise, yes, yeah, good, but the point he's making, whatever it is, will it last or will it spoil? Or you go further, you come into church, you do church stuff. Why? What do you want? Do you want the stuff that's around me, the social and the people and the time together, or do you want me? That's the question Jesus is asking, isn't it? I wonder if you ever stop to ponder. We don't do it enough, do we? Speak for myself. Life is relentless and we just join the pace of it often. But do you stop and ponder, what am I really after in life? What is my life about? Not just what do I say it's about, functionally what's going on in my life. What is my life about? What's the direction? What am I consumed by? What am I striving for? What's my passion? These are questions we should ask of ourselves. It's called to examine ourselves, aren't we? Before the throne of grace. Or Jesus would add here, does that thing, the big thing in your life, does it endure to eternal life? We may love our jobs, but the job's not going to last. We may love our house. We spend years building up a nice house and nice garden and lawn and all the rest of it. It's not going to last. Our bank balance as well. It's not going to last. Remember the story of Pacom? Our looks. You may love our looks. Our clothes. It's not going to last. Foolish to make our lives on things that spoil. Julie, what was your joke there? I disagree, eh? Just pause for a moment. Thanks, Judy. Sorry. Should have done that. But I knew it would be quite funny. What do we long for? Maybe it's social acceptance. None of these things, as wonderful as they may be, and is a great world God's made, the point is they can never fully satisfy because they won't last. So verse 28, look, I mean, it's a good answer from the crowd. What do we do then? If that's not the work we should be doing, what are the works we should do? Verse 29, here's the work. Check this out. Believe in me. You want to know your work? You want to know the most precious, best work we could do is believe in Christ. So lastly, very last, the find, double click. Believe in Jesus. You think, well, that sounds easy. Is that it? For the crowd listening, it would not have been easy. It's not easy today either. Because for them then, same today, or most people around them were not believing in Jesus. They're believing something else. And they say, verse 30, okay, well, give us a sign. And again, you think, well, he just had the feeding of the 5,000. That's why they're chasing him. But there was an expectation, I understand, in Hebrew writing, that an anticipation of the Messiah would be, part of the clear sign would be that he would repeat the Moses manna from heaven feeding. Jesus sets them straight, verse 32. It wasn't Moses anyway, it was my Father who gave the bread. And verse 33, I tell you, the real manna from heaven is the Son who comes down from heaven. There's the manna. That's the sign. Not manna that spoils. Remember Old Testament? Remember when the manna came down in Exodus? It spoiled and went moldy. But the bread, the manna that I am, will keep for all time. Because I am the manna. The crowd are still not sinking with him in verse 34, are they? They'll give us this bread. Like the woman at the well. Well, show me this water. And here's verse 35. I am the bread of life. This is the first of Jesus' I am sayings. He takes God's holy name. I am. This is divine, fully divine name of God. Divine, Christ is saying, in character and being. I'm equal with God. I'm the bread. So I'm not a luxury as such, but the idea is a necessity, an essential, kind of representing all foods, if you like, that without which we would die. Jesus is saying, I'm God and I'm absolutely necessary for your life and for your eternal life. And there is no other source. This is an exclusive claim again, but I am what satisfies. I'm the one who will drive the hunger out from the inside. And if you're a believer here this morning, I hope you agree and you say, yes, this is true. when I'm walking with the Lord as I ought to be, and sometimes we're doing really well, other times we're not. But when we're doing well, we know, don't we? Yes, Jesus is satisfying. And without him, we are restless. But with Christ at the centre, there is rest, there is satisfaction. Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not bitter. It's not a meal that you have to endure, struggle with. But Jesus is joy. He is satisfying, fulfilling, overwhelming joy. And he is the bread. He is the only bread. Life is all and only in Jesus. He is that valuable, he's saying. He's that precious. He is exclusively the bread that we need. So Jesus doesn't say, does he, I'm going to show you the way to the bread. He says, I am the way. He's not saying, I'm going to tell you, or I'm going to teach you. I am me. I am. And without me, you will starve for all eternity. It is super strong, isn't it? Jesus is the bread, and the picture works so well because it's saying, of course, not only that he is the essential and the ultimate person, but also the broken person. Because Jesus is the bread, his brokenness becomes our life, doesn't it? And so we'll see further on Jesus saying, I will be broken into pieces for you. This essential, precious one you need will be broken out of love for you, that you may be whole. I've done all that's needed. I've done it all. Everything you need for life now, I've done. Just come to me. So this verse as well speaks of the accessibility of Jesus. What do we do if Jesus is the bread of life and everything else we tend to chase after, as great as it might be, as enjoyable, doesn't last? If Jesus is, what do we do? It's as simple as that. Come to me and you'll never be hungry. Believe on me and you'll never thirst. There's the work. And they mean the same thing. To come to Jesus is to believe. To believe is to come to Jesus. And the metaphor is a strong one, isn't it? I am the life. I give my life. So come to me. Don't come to me for rules. Don't just come to me for advice and guidance. Come to me for me. Take me, Jesus says. And know life, satisfaction and fulfillment. We're going to pray in a moment, just on our own about this. Let me ask, if you've never come to Jesus, you are currently in the kingdom of the world. That's what the Bible says. In how you think, in what you do, in what you chase, in what lasts, and in your standing before God, you are like the world. That is the position you're in. And you must turn and come to Christ. Because he is the bread from heaven, come to give you life. Well, sadly, around us the world isn't coming to Jesus, is it? Most are on the chase still, aren't they? After all sorts of things, running after stuff which spoils. We'll pick this up next time. Can you see verse 37? Just wet your whistle for next time. This is huge. Next week, God willing, all those the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Wonderful verse. Look at verse 44 as well. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I will raise them up on the last day. There is the not spoiling. There's the eternal bit. Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Heavenly Father, please reset us this morning where we need it. Refocus us that your glorious Son will be the very center of our lives. That the one that feeds and in whom is an abundance, the one who rides on the storms, would be and must be at the very heart of our lives, calling the shots. So please help us. Help our unbelief. Help our wayward work. Our often time wasted. And may everything we do, because we have to do so many things, like various jobs we do, Lord, we have to do them and we like doing them and we appreciate the work you give us. But may it be for your glory. And may we ultimately and filtered through everything we do be for Christ and for that which does not spoil. So Jesus, please be the centre of our lives. Forgive us that you often aren't. And guide us, keep turning us, that we would walk worthy and that our lives would line up with the gospel, we pray. Amen.